24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
All right, everybody, welcome or welcome back. It's the 8 o'clock hour, and we are very, very glad you're here. Ted Cruz and Beto O'Rourke, debate number two. It is 12 hours from now. I've got some thoughts on how I think that's going to go. Here's a guy who's got some thoughts on just about everything, and he regaled us with them for years and years and years on Fox News, now does so through various methods at BillO'Reilly.com, and he gives us thoughts about history and takes us through some amazing chapters of things we thought we knew everything about, but maybe learn some more. It's the killing series, killing Kennedy, killing Jesus, the story of Jesus's crucifixion and persecution, killing Patton, killing Reagan, and now we find killing the SS. It's back into World War II and back online with Bill O'Reilly. Welcome back, sir. How you doing?
Thanks for having me in, Mark.
So, SS, what made you and Martin Dugard, your partner for all of these, what made you think, let's go back and do Let's Talk Some Nazis?
Well, after we wrote Killing Patton, we had some material left over about what happened after the war was over. And I put it aside, but then I saw a growing evil in America, in the United States. And I'm talking about people walking into schools and killing students. I'm talking about thousands of people shot in Chicago by drug gangs, clerics abusing children, this kind of evil. And I said to myself, you know, I think many Americans don't understand really what evil is. My mother didn't. She never saw it. And so I went back and I said, the best example of evil in the last 500 years is the Third Reich and what happened in the concentration camps and what happened at the hands of the SS. They were Hitler's security apparatus at first, and then they were the Holocaust brutalizers. And after the war, many of them got away, and people helped them get away, like the Red Cross, American CIA, members of the Catholic Church, helped these heinous killers get away. There was big money behind them, an organization called Odessa. You may have heard of the Odessa File movie. Mm-hmm. And so we put it all together like we usually do in the fast-paced killing style. This is the eighth book, the first seven of 17 million copies in print, the most successful nonfiction book series in history.
What is, I have a feeling about a minute ago, eyebrows went up. You mentioned money, which will always motivate. Give me another paragraph on the motivation of people who helped the Nazis escape.
Yeah, I mean, there was an organization set up by Heinrich Himmler, the head of the SS, about a year before Hitler committed suicide and the war was over. They knew, the SS knew, they weren't going to win the war. The Nazis weren't going to win. So they set up an organization. The organization had millions and millions of dollars, mostly in gold. And they bribed people. And there was a so-called rat line from Germany down to Genoa, Italy, where these SS people would be funneled through farms and hotels and things like that down to ships. And then they would go to Spain or South America or South Africa. It was very well organized, and it was primarily money-based. There was some sympathy for Germany in certain quarters, if you can believe it. But that's what happened. And then they had to be hunted down. And Odessa would murder you if they figured out you were looking for these SS people. We're talking, you know, Eichmann and Mengele, Klaus Barbie, Martin Bormann, you know, really awful barbarians, the worst war criminals in history. But if the Odessa organization thought you were looking for them, you'd get a bullet in the back of the head. So it's an amazing story that, as you pointed out, a lot of people don't know anything about this, particularly younger Americans.
Well, the historical illiteracy of America for a long time, and it's damaging because we just don't grasp this. And going back to it, we can think about evil and find evil centuries past, millennia past. This was, if not when you and I were alive, it was when our parents were alive.
Father was in World War II.
That recently, it's shocking that it would be that
The most important thing about killing the SS is that Germans who killed millions of innocent people, including babies, they were farmers, bankers, merchants. They didn't go to hell school. Once the war broke out, they signed up, put on their black uniform and the cap with the death's head insignia, and went out and murdered people. Ordinary people.
So here's my question for you, because that's exactly where I was going, because we've all seen various Holocaust-related popular culture, some miniseries, some things of great quality, and many times they try to relate the ordinariness of their lives. Do you, Bill O'Reilly, believe that these were people who were willfully and willingly turned over to evil, or many of them were simply trying to just preserve their own lives, they saw the writing on the wall, and were just following orders?
No, they volunteered. You had to volunteer to go to the SS. You weren't drafted. So they went in willingly. And women. We have a chapter on the women SS. It's unbelievable. And one of them got to the United States in 1959 on a visa, of a refugee visa, settled in San Francisco, and stayed there for almost 50 years before the State Department finally found her. Brought her back to Germany at taxpayer expense. She's still alive. And this woman is heinous. And every month, Mark, she gets a U.S. Social Security check.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All righty. Details like these, big picture and microcosmic stuff. Bill O'Reilly, Martin Dugard, Killing the SS, The Hunt for the Worst War Criminals in History. One more book plug coming in just a couple of minutes. But if I've got Bill O'Reilly on the horn, I want to do some lightning round on the news. As the pendulum of punditry has swung back and forth, back and forth. I have for months steadfastly said that we're going to lose some seats. We're going to get more in the Senate. There's going to be a more Republican Senate. That's an easy call. But we are going to lose some in the House, but not enough to lose the House. I've never stopped saying that. I'm saying it today. What say you, as someone might say?
It's hard to evaluate that. Unlike the Senate, where the polling is fairly clear, the candidates are clear, and they're much higher profile. The House is smaller, as you know, and the candidates have to depend on money. And there's big money going into the left, into the Democratic candidates, from people like George Soros, those organizations. I'm sure you've discussed that.
Sure.
And then each candidate has to frame their own campaign. It's a much more personal thing. So I can't evaluate, but I can tell you this. Based upon my analysis of the polling, and if your audience wants to see that, you go to realclearpolitics.com. Mm-hmm. They have the best analysis of polling there. Mm-hmm. It looks like there is a shift for independent voters, all right, to the Republicans because of the Kavanaugh stuff. It's cause and effect. I think most Americans watching that were disgusted by the behavior of the Democrats on the Judiciary Committee in the Senate. And they have moved, the independents have moved, toward the GOP.
Is there any likelihood that our memories of the Kavanaugh hearings fade in what might be a political eternity the next 3 weeks?
Yeah, but that's then the mandate of the individual candidates. To keep that alive. Look, I asked my staff on BillO'Reilly.com, and we're the best in the business. When I left Fox News, I took six people with me. And I said, find me a Democrat who stood up for due process and the presumption of innocence. Any Democrat in an elected position, find me one. Couldn't do it.
Nothing.
There was not one elected Democratic politician who stood up against the mob, and it is a mob, okay, and said, you know what, this presumption of innocence is important in this country. It's a basic right, not one. I think people are going to remember that.
I hope they will. Last thing, this Saudi thing is like a bad novel come to light. This guy walks into the consulate. He's murdered, chopped up, and the Saudi line today is apparently going to be, oh, whoops, we had a rogue guy who got a little carried away. We didn't mean to kill him. How's that going to play? And pardon me, every life is precious, but how much does it really matter?
you know, we didn't mean to kill him, but he was chopped up.
Yeah,
so,
sorry.
I want to see, I really want to see what the statement is and what the evidence is before I get involved with this, because you may have noticed, Mark, that the left is just going crazy over this story. Okay. The story is about Iran. That's what this story is about. Trump and Mattis, defense secretary, understand that their most important ally in the fight against Iran is Saudi Arabia. And if they decide to sanction or embarrass or pull away from Saudi Arabia, the United States loses a huge amount of power in the Mideast. That's what this is all about.
Correct.
Okay? So the murder, and I'm no fan of Saudi Arabia.
No,
I really,
no,
I mean, that place, no human rights at all there. But if the murder took place, President Trump's going to have to do something. But he doesn't want to destroy the entire relationship, even though they are bad people, because they're fighting against worse people. And that's what's going on.
That is, just to tie a bow around it, that's the triangulation that has happened. And you've chronicled a lot of these periods in history where sometimes America, good nations, will have to find certain common ground with some bad nations in order to fight an evil that is even worse.
Yeah, because we allied with Stalin in World War II. I mean
hello. Yes.
Anyway, I want to say hello to all my friends in Dallas-Fort Worth. You might know, Mark, that in the beginning of my career, I worked at Channel 8.
Of course.
And,
I know.
You know, I always like talking to you. You're such a smart guy.
You're so kind.
You run a
Thank
real
you.
Good show.
Who was anchor when you're hanging Channel 8? Who's anchoring 6 and 10 when you were there?
You know, they had, I'm getting old. The old timer was there who had been there forever.
How far back do we go?
The African-American woman was the big star.
Iola Johnson. Yes.
Iola Johnson.
Yes, sir. You bet.
Yeah, and I did radio and television.
Yep.
At Channel 8, and I really enjoy living in Texas. And the first time in my life I ever had a chicken fried steak.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
A Yankee came down.
That's right. That's
what
right.
What is it? Where's the chicken here?
Well, it's you cut through enough batter, you get to the chicken and the chicken fried chicken or the chicken fried steak. It's Bill O'Reilly. It's killing the SS. Well, listen, can you telegraph the surely the next one is underway? What might we look for next in the series?
It's American centric. I mean, it's something that people in Texas are going to really jump up and down for. But I can't tell you the name of it because then people steal it.
No, you good point. Good. Gotcha.
So that'll be every September we have them coming out. And Killing the SS first week sold 140,000 copies. So it's rolling.
Well, let's ramp
and
that
I,
up
again,
for you.
I appreciate you having me
It is our great, great pleasure. Go to BillO'Reilly.com for everything, Bill, and go wherever books are sold, obviously right there on that website or Amazon or anywhere else, Killing the SS. Bill, God bless. Thank you. We'd love to talk to you soon.
Okay, Mark.
You bet.
Cheers.
Take care. That's Bill O'Reilly, 821, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.